I realize the hour, so I'm going to give you just four thoughts. You can be seated, and I want to give you four thoughts, and I want you to kind of take them home and develop them. I read the story some time ago about a couple who had just had a newborn baby. This is a true story. It happened somewhere in the Midwestern part of the United States. They just had a new baby, and newborn, and they were really excited, and they had gone to the pastor of their church, and they said, "We want to dedicate our child to the Lord." And the pastor said, "Okay," and so they lined up a time to dedicate the child. And they wanted to invite some friends over prior to the dedication service and kind of have a celebration at their home. And so they did so, and as the friends began to arrive that evening, and they began to come into the house, it was in the winter of the time of the year, and so they told them, you know, just take your coats in there, and you can just lay them on the bed, and come on into the living area, and that's where we're going to gather. So one by one, the friends came in, and they just kind of tossed their coats over, and as the story had it, sometime during the visit, the mother said, "I'm going to go get the little child, and I can't remember now, I think it was a little boy." And so she goes into the bedroom, and unbeknownst to the people that had gone in to throw their coats, they had covered up the child. They literally smothered that little baby to its death. And could you imagine what that was? Now here was a family celebrating the birth of their child. And so they were doing something for that child, but unbeknownst to the family or to their friends, that child was smothered to death at the time when it should have been being celebrated for its life. I read that story many years ago. And this past week, as I was thinking about all the things that's going to be going on this week, this time of year, I thought about Jesus. And how that when he was born, there's a lot of things that went on. But you know, he didn't really get the attention that he deserved for his birth. He still doesn't get it, by the way. Can I tell you that Jesus is still smothered? He's still smothered. Listen, the agnostics, the atheists, the secularists, the humanists, they're still smothering Christ out of Christmas. They're still trying to take Christ out of Christmas. Now, I don't think there would be anyone here that would do this, but let me help you. And don't be angry at me. I want to help you. I'm not trying to in any way belittle you. Don't know that you would do this. But Christmas is not spelled with an X. Okay? And listen, you may shorthand and you may reduce many words in your social media, but do not put XMAS for Christmas. That is an abomination to God. It is following the line of humanistic, secular thoughts of X and Christ. Well, X is Greek for blah. Listen, we're English, okay? Hey, amen. We're in America, so we could get in all those symbols and all that. But what you're doing is you're following along with the mindset of let's X Christ out of Christmas. You can't have Christmas without Christ. You can have Christmas without Santa Claus. But you can't have Christmas without Christ. You can have Christmas without Frosty, but you can't have Christmas without Christ. You can have Christmas without Rudolph, but you can't have Christmas without Christ. You can have Christmas without snow, family, food, football, but you can't have Christmas without Christ. And so I want to encourage you, and may I be encouraged that during this time of year, while there are a lot of other things, you can even have Christmas without shopping. I know that's hard on some of you ladies. Amen. You can have Christmas without gifts, but you can't have Christmas without Christ. Now, these other things are all fine and well in their place. I can't say all of them are. Some of them are. And they're all fine and well in their place. But Jesus is truly, and I'm not saying this to be trite, He is truly the reason for the season. There is no Christmas without Jesus Christ. When I look at this account in the scripture, I see some things that helps me to remember what happened this first Christmas. You know, many times when we look at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in this setting of scripture, we think that there was a lot of festivities and a lot of rejoicing and celebrating. But I want to remind you that during this era, now follow me closely, during this era, Herod was the king. Okay, Herod was a tyrant. Herod, Jesus said, was a sly fox. Herod, listen to me now, was a murderer. He murdered his own wife, at least one of them. He murdered three of his sons. He was a crazy, he was a madman. And he was the one in charge, politically speaking. All right? So politically speaking, it was dark. Religiously speaking, when the chief priests and scribes were charged of Herod to tell them where Christ would be born, they could say, hey, he's going to be born right up the road here. But they, listen, they had no drive in them whatsoever to go see what the shepherds went to see. They could, you know how far the chief priests were in Matthew chapter 2 from where Jesus was going to be born? 5 miles. 5 miles. There's no indication anywhere in the scripture. They knew about it. They just didn't care about it. Now see, a lot of people know about it. They just don't care. You see, a lot of people will sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. God rest you merry gentlemen. Well, what a song. God rest you merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power while we were going astray. Amen? Listen to me. There will be people that will sing that song who have absolutely no care that that really takes place during the Christmas season. Those religious people, what am I saying? This day that I'm getting ready to share with you was a dark day. People had their head and their hearts bowed low. A lot of discouragement in this day. In the time in which, listen, for 400 years, heaven had been silent. Listen to me now. That's a long time for God not to speak. 400 years. So you got a king who's a tyrant, a madman. You've got a religious system in place that all they care about is furthering themselves. What's in it for me? They wasn't willing to walk across the street, if you will, to see a prophecy fulfilled of God sending his son. God had not spoken for 400 years. 400 intertestament years of silence where God had not spoken. People were in a bad way. Bad way. I think if we're not careful, we look back and say, well, I tell you, people back in that day had it made. The good old days are always the days gone by. Have you ever noticed? But you know, some of those days that are looked on as good old days were not good old days in many ways. And nor was it good old days here. But I want to show you what Christmas can do. Now I'm going to give you four things that Christmas ought to do for you this year. You write them down. Did it for the shepherds. You write it down and go home and develop it. All right, number one. Look in your Bible if you would. Look in the scripture. First of all, it ought to cause you to lift your head toward heaven. You know, I understand that this time of year can be sad. I understand that there's going to be people missing. And by the way, Sunday I read a poem a week or so ago, and I've had some people ask me about that poem about a loved one spending this Christmas in heaven. I'm going to have several copies, and I'll have them in the back for you because I want it to be a comfort to your heart. I do understand, okay? I can't say I empathize with you. But listen, my mom's in heaven. My grandmother's in heaven. And I do understand. But maybe not as closely, because some of you, even this year, as we've heard even testified here tonight, one of your loved ones will not be sitting around this table, the Christmas table at your home, but they'll be sitting around the Lord's throne. And so I understand that, okay? However, I want you to also think with me about something. Sometimes when our heads are made to hang low, sometimes when we're looking down, God wants us to look up. Look at what the scripture says here. Notice if you would. It says in verse number 8 that they were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, I do believe that night, I believe it was literally night, but can I tell you, I think it also spoke of the times of that this society was in. I believe it was dark, not just dark by the time of the hour. I believe it was dark times. It was night spiritually. God has not spoken. As I mentioned, the tyrannical leadership that they were under, it was terrible. Now, the scripture said this in verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Look at verse number 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You think these shepherds were looking down while the angels, the heavens lit up? They were afraid. But do you think they were looking down while the angels were singing and praising God and giving them the good news? I think they were looking up, don't you? I think they were looking toward heaven, because that's where the good news was coming from. You know, when you go through the scripture, I've done a little research. In your King James Bible, the word is lift is mentioned 100 times, lifted 149 times. You can go through the Psalms, and I want you just quickly to do something with me. Go to Psalm 24, and I'm not going to go through a bunch of them, but over and over again in the Psalms, the scripture talks about lifting our eyes, lifting our heads, lifting our hands, lifting our hearts, lifting our souls to heaven. Psalm 121, you can turn to Psalm 24, but Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Psalm 24, look at it. Are you there? Psalm 24, look in verse number 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Look at Psalm 25, verse number 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. You can go all through these Psalms. Psalm 28, Psalm 63, Psalm after Psalm after Psalm talks about lifting up, lifting your head, lifting your heart, lifting your soul, lifting your hands, just lifting up toward the heaven, realizing there's a God in heaven. And where there's a God, there's hope. Amen? Where there's God, there's good news. Where there's God, it ought to cause us to look and know that God has a plan. Here in Luke chapter 2, as you turn back there, these shepherds, it was dark. They were afraid. The Bible says so in verse number, the latter part of verse number 9. It says they were so afraid. And yet, when they looked up into the heaven and they got the message from heaven, the message was that there's salvation to all people. And there was a Savior going to be born. You know what the scripture says in verse number 20? Look at it if you would. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. Amen. Man, they were afraid. It was a dark day in which they lived. Old King Herod was a tyrant. There was no religious system to speak of. They didn't care. The chief priests and the scribes, they had no real spiritual power to them. God had been silent for 400 years. And yet when they looked up to the heavens, when they looked up to hear the voice from heaven, to hear the news from heaven, it put a joy in their heart. They began to praise God. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your season is lined up to be, but I know this. If we'll look up, lift up your head, look up. I got to tell you something. Jesus said, that's good for what ails you. Isn't that what he said? You can turn right here in this gospel. Don't do it tonight. But in Luke 21 and verse number 28, the scripture says that there's going to come a day when the times are going to be so bad that Jesus is coming back. Now, it's not going to be like this. He's coming back. And he said, lift up your heads. Look up. Why? He said, because your redemption draweth nigh. There's something about looking up to the heavens. There's something about looking up and seeing the glory of God that the heavens declare. The heavens declare the glory of God that will bring joy to your heart, praise to your lips, and hope in your life. So these shepherds, that first Christmas, they experienced it. So lift up. You don't have to walk around with your head down. Listen, you don't. I understand that there's things happen that cause us to bow the head and the heart and to be low. But here is a message. Look up. Look up. Look up. That's where it's at. All right? So lift your head. Look up to the heavens. Look to God is the real message here. Look to God. Brethren, there's hope in God. There may not be any hope, and there's not much, if any, in this world. But there's hope in God. So that's the first thing. Number two, not only should we lift our heads up, but notice what he said. Not only were their heads lifted, but their hearts were united. I like what they said after all this happened, and I'm skipping over some things because I just want to highlight a few things here. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angel was gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let, and I want you to underline that word, let us go now. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. There's something about being united that brings about the power of God. There is. There's strength in being in unity. One of the things that is talked about a lot here at Fellowship Baptist Church is unity. Brethren, it is good and pleasant when the brethren dwell together in unity. Amen? Doesn't the Scripture teach that? You know, it's a shame when churches are known for their fights and their splits and for their differences instead of their likenesses, instead of their kindnesses, instead of their unity, instead of their love for God and one another. It's a shame that many of today's modern churches are known more for what they disagree on and they're fighting and bickering and murmuring and complaining instead of what they agree on and will stand on and will work on and will work together on. Now, isn't it? Here was a group of men who went together as a unit. They got the message together and they carried that message out together. I read the story about a man who owned two horses, and they were doing a strength test on which one of his horses were the strongest. Actually, there were many people that entered this, but this particular farmer entered two horses. One of his horses was able to pull 4,200 pounds, and they were ecstatic. They said, wow, the second horse that he entered finished second place, 4,000. Now, there were other horses that entered. They didn't pull as much. And so someone came up and said, I tell you what, you've got the strongest horses in town, 142 and 4,000. I wonder what they would pull together. And everyone was thinking, well, they might could together pull 8,000, maybe 82, 12,000. You know, it shocks us what we can do when we pull together. It really does. See, that horse in itself, the best one of them could do was 42 and the other could do was 4,000. But when they joined their strengths, when they united their purpose, they far exceeded what they could each one do individually. And did you know that's what God does in our lives? It is. This Christmas season, we all remember that God, listen, not only does God want to lift our heads to look toward heaven, but God wants us to also realize that we're not in this alone. This is not my ministry. It's not your ministry. It's God's ministry, and He's allowed us to work in it. We're privileged, but He sends us helpers and workers. You know, as far as I can tell, and I want you to search this out, Jesus had one prayer request. Did you know that? Tonight's prayer meeting night. And we could ask everyone for prayer requests. And we would have all kinds of prayer requests. But as far as I can tell from the Scripture, Jesus had one. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers. That ought to be our prayer. God, send us some helpers. We're not in this alone. Amen? Well, that's my bus ministry. No, that's God's bus ministry. He might want you to work in it, but He might have some other people He wants to work in it too. Amen? That's my Sunday school class. Well, you know, maybe. But God may want to use you to head up and put some other people to work with you. You never know what God wants. God may be wanting to grow your Sunday school class, and you've taken it as far as you can take it. Now God wants to add someone to help you so that while you can only pull 42 and that person He's going to put with you can pull four, He might want y'all to pull 12 together. You never know. And so here was some hearts that were united. And we'll see just a moment what happened to these men's hearts when they were united. Let us, he said in verse number 15. Well, there's much more, but I must hasten. Okay, verse number, the third thing, bended knees. Now, I'm going to have to get on what's implied here. I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 16. And they, who is verse number 16 talking about? The shepherds. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Well, we know what happened when the rich man found Mary and Joseph. The babe was not lying in a manger. The young child was there. What does Matthew chapter 2 teach us that happened? They bowed their knees and they worshiped. You think these men did? You think these shepherds ran in and seen Mary and Joseph and the babe and said, oh, that's cool, and then turned and ran off? That's the way today's church believes. You know, that's awesome. That's not what happened when those shepherds ran in. The glory of God overwhelmed them. There's not a doubt in my mind that these men worshiped in verse number 16. You know how I can say that? Look at it one more time. Verse number 16. It says, and they came with haste. That right there, that would be enough right there if I didn't have anything else. With the haste that they had to get to what they had been told about. Can I tell you that the destination outweighed the journey? Amen. I mean, when they said, let us now go, they took off and they went on a journey. But when they got there, it was a lot more than what they thought they were going to find. They thought they were going to find, you know. That's the way it is with Jesus, amen? He's always more than what you think you're going to have. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. You tell me if you thought they worshiped Jesus when they were there. The shepherds returned glorified and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen. You think they worshiped Jesus when they went and found him in verse 16? I'm 100% sure of it. We hear a lot about the wise men worshiping. The shepherds didn't have a whole lot to give, but I'm going to tell you what they did give. Their self. They gave their praise. They gave their heart. You might not have gold to give tonight. I don't know. You may not have frankincense and myrrh. You may not have a tangible to give, but you can give God yourself. And that's what God asks you to give. Give yourself. That's the greatest thing you can give Jesus Christ. You. That's what he wants. You. Well, let me give you this last point. There's just so much here, but you following? All right? Number one, lifted heads. Heads lifted. Hearts united. Knees bent. Tongues loosed. When these shepherds left, shepherds were quiet people by nature. Just quiet. Kind of spent time to themselves. Lonely job for the most part. And yet, the scripture says in verse number 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had seen or they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. And when they, meaning the shepherds, had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I want to give you two things. Number one, I want you to see what was reported to them. Okay? Look in verse number 15. Verse number 15, they said, let's go and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. That's the first step. All right? God makes it known to you. God makes it known to me. Now, what are we to do with it? What are we to do with what God has made known to us? How many of you know who Adrian Rogers is? I started to say was, but he's just as much alive today as he's ever been. He's more alive, okay? Adrian Rogers made a statement years ago, and I literally, for those of you who are social media, I literally LOL'd. I laughed out loud. He said, a lot of Baptist churches are like Arctic rivers. They're frozen at the mouth. And I said, wow. People act like it's a crime to witness for Jesus Christ. Man, they'll brag on their favorite football team. They'll brag on their grandchildren. They'll brag on how much money they make. They'll brag on this and that, but don't say anything about Jesus. Hey, if you're saved, you need to be saying something about Jesus. You need to be bragging on Jesus. There's something broken in you if you're a Christian and you're not bragging on Jesus. This Christmas, four things. Number one, let's lift our heads. Let's unite our hearts. Let's bend our knees. Let's loosen our tongues. This Christmas, you're going to be given many opportunities. It's just a few days now to share Jesus Christ. The first Christmas, the shepherds did. It was reported to them in verse number 15. You see that? Let's make known what the Lord has made known unto us. Look, if you would, in verse 17. And when they seen it, they made known. They made it known. What did they make known? What the Lord had made known unto them. What's the Lord made known unto you? If you're saved, I don't have to tell you what the Lord's made known unto you. But you should be telling other people. Loosen your tongue for Christ this Christmas season. That's four things that Christmas ought to do this year and every year. It ought to cause us to look up. The greatest gift that's been given has come from heaven. God's only begotten Son. We ought to bend our hearts. We ought to bend our knees. Years ago, as you stand to your feet, there was a man who was asked a question. The question was, why can't the church experience revival? Theologian after theologian after theologian gave their dissertations on why the church can't have revival. There was a country man out in the sanctuary in the audience. And he raised his hand, and someone called on him and said, "Sir, do you have anything to say?" He said, "I'd like to answer that question." All these theologians are up there thinking, "This guy's in here in his overalls. What's he got to say?" "Okay, go ahead, sir." While they had given 15, 20-minute speeches, he gave one word. You know what it was? Pride. We can't have revival because of pride. You think about that. Think about why you don't witness. Think about why you won't confess your sin. Think about why you won't do some things you should do for Jesus and why you do some things you shouldn't do. And then think about why, as a nation, we are in the condition we're in, and as a body of believers, the Church of Jesus Christ, we're in the condition we're in. Pride goeth before destruction. But you know, if we'll lift our heads and we'll unite our hearts, we'll bow our knees and loose our tongues and begin to do some things that happened this first Christmas, I believe it'll make a difference this Christmas. Let's pray. Father,